busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
We got a duet here on the Rational Revolution. Yes. We've got the second singer you hear there is the sweet sound of State Senator Rose Kristen Death
all
Ralph.
The way to New Orleans.
Bam, bam, bam. All right, so thanks for hanging out. You know, if you like what you heard, because who wouldn't? You can download this episode and all the episodes civicmedia.us. Download our app. You can wherever podcasts are, you can listen as many times as you want. Hit that stuff on repeat. One of the things I want to talk about is kind of where we are politically. Where does everything go? And you said something in the discussion last segment about we all want to make sure that we do the right thing. And I was like, yeah, but, and I the one thing that I always, when I was a Republican chairman, I started any discussion with people that I was talking to about why do we compromise? We all want a good thing to happen. We all want the success of the population. We all want this to succeed. We all want us to be okay. And when, you said that about, we do want this to be successful. We're talking about this program. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're almost at a point where it's like, I don't know if they want that program to be successful, because then if it's not, it goes away.
Well, I'm not the Republicans, right?
Right.
But I would say that Republicans in general don't like the idea of throwing money at industries that they don't, or industries that don't support them.
Right.
Because you can't say that a Republican doesn't believe in subsidizing industry. They check out WMC.
Right.
WMC, billions of dollars that are sent in subsidies to tremendously successful industry. And God bless our businesses, right?
I'm a capitalist.
We're the Fox
I'm a business owner.
We need our mutual success in our community. So I'm 100%. Not saying that we should be hurting anything, but there are plenty of dollars that are going to subsidies on things that are not childcare.
Right.
So philosophically, it's to me, it's hypocritical of the Republican Party to say, nope, we shouldn't have to give money to that. You give money to everything. There's money in industry. There's money in commerce all the time.
Right.
For hundreds of years, you've done that. So it's hypocritical to say they don't think that stimulating that industry is a good idea. You just don't think they deserve it. Acknowledge
it. Right.
You don't think childcare providers are worth sending any taxpayer dollars to. Be honest about it.
Right.
Be honest about it. And if you think that the industry can fix itself and the way you want to help is by offering these resources, okay, you've now come to an agreement that you're going to be able to put your money where your mouth is. And then fine, let's look at the data. And again, I don't think everything is right or wrong from either side. I do think that there is something to be said for looking at situations. Again, in the rural area, the fact that in a family situation, you could only have one where the option could be two, I think that's actually a reasonable solution. Again, first and foremost, kids are taken care of and getting what they need to.
Yeah.
But I think that there is some realistic compromise that could be done. And we must, in the end, agree that not having a childcare system is devastating.
Yeah,
it's 100%. Devastating. Absolutely. For the economy and for families in this world, in addition to the business owners that own childcare businesses.
Right.
It's not just, this is not about bailing out an industry. This is about keeping an industry whole for the good of the entire state.
Right. Yeah. Right. And yeah. So how, where politically with all of this, this is kind of setting up, it's a roadmap to 2026.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to ask you to respond to this because I don't respond. But our political director.
What if I want to?
If you, if you want to, I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole if I had Senator in front of my name. But our political director, Dan Schaefer, wrote an article famously where he said that Tony Evers should not seek.
Oh, yeah. Not going to comment on that.
I wouldn't comment on that. And I love Governor Evers. I would love to have him on the show. I wouldn't ask him about this, but I would love to talk to him about what it's been like to try to do the best you can in the face of such headwinds from the Republican Party. And I think, you know, the midterms coming up, what an amazing, if I was Tony Evers and I spent the last 8 years getting my teeth kicked in, hell yeah, I'd want a shot at now I can leave a legacy of something that is the right thing to do. Man, that's a tough decision. But where do you think, the governor aside, what is this set up for the legislature?
Well, I'm just going to pass on that whole governor thing, as you can imagine.
Well, because I think we're both fans of Tony Evers.
I think, you know, and I've been in close proximity to him. I think that he has done a truly, truly honorable job in a horrible situation.
Oh, my God.
And I will say, as I was knocking on doors during the campaign, I always knocked on moderate doors.
It's
I was
wildly
never on,
popular.
Wildly popular in the Democratic Party without question. But I will say that there were an awful lot of moderate Republicans that when we came down to a conversation between, you know, Evers and Michaels, we would have a great conversation. And I said, the one thing that I will tell you and you should believe is that he is an honorable man.
Yes.
There is not a selfish bone in his body. And every time that I had that conversation, the moderate Republican would nod their head.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that what he has done is shown that, one, it is you can't be perfect in a situation when you're not in control.
Right.
And I think that his base understands that.
Right.
I think that philosophy really has to kind of be used in a broader sense when it comes to the overall caucus, because we realistically are doing the very best we can in a bad situation.
Right.
Now, what could he do with the majority in the Senate Democrat? What could he do with the majority? I think that the entire world changes for the governor, or for whomever else it is, as long as they're blue, but for the people of Wisconsin and the Democratic Party, taking the advantage of those maps and finally getting at least one house, God bless us too, but one house having the majority changes the world. And now instead of salvaging or crash landing a budget without anybody, you know, losing it, now we actually have the opportunity to fly the plane.
So
we have the opportunity to land the plane, not crash landing safely.
Right. So as we're sitting down here with Senator Chris Desler-Alfheim, what does it take to get there? What message has to get out? Where on the Peggy Noonan yardstick do we have to be? Do we have to have people that are way on the extreme? Do we have to have people that are moderates? What gets that majority that is not a majority for a couple of years? What gets the majority that is lasting, that the people of Wisconsin can say, I do trust the Democratic Party. I do trust their people to do the right things.
I think that, again, on the doors, the number one thing I heard, and yes, education, and yes, childcare, mm-hmm. but really the number one thing I heard in the moderates of the world, which were red, blue leaning, kind
we're
of purple,
purple
one
state,
side
of
like the
your
other.
Shirt.
Every one of them said, why can't you just work together?
Right.
And what allows government work together is one balanced government, which means properly mapped out, right? So balanced government is good government, is productive government. But also having the leadership of the party not insist on all or nothing. So the rule of 17 in the Republican Senate caucus means they never bring anything to the floor unless they have 17 votes because they never want to rely on a Democrat to vote. So we go up there and we give good speeches. We can do all these things. We can submit bills all day long. And it doesn't matter because it's either not going to get a hearing. That's a leadership decision.
That's crap.
It's not going to get a hearing.
Oh my God, is that dumb?
Or it's never going to come to the floor because they don't have 17 votes.
Right.
So the leadership, Diane Hesselbein, again, coming out of this caucus saying, hey, we're going to have a rule that says, you know, if we believe as eight, so eight is more than 50% of the caucus believe it's the right choice to move forward, then we will move forward. But if we don't have eight, we won't. A rule of eight is holding your caucus together with allowing voices and compromise to take place. That's leadership. That is leadership. And if you have the leadership of the Senate caucus, who, in my opinion, has just proven the fact that they are ready to lead this state.
Yeah.
Because we are proving the fact that we are, one, going to negotiate the best we can for people. We have people's minds in first. And we are willing to not stand on the edge and wait for perfection. And I respect the hell out of the people that are standing on the edge saying no.
Yeah.
We should just say no. I get it, because what you want is the full solution. Mm-hmm. That is not the world we live in.
Right.
So I expect them to continue standing there. I expect them to continue demanding more.
Yeah.
And then it is the pragmatic portion of each caucus that has to say, okay, I believe in what you're saying. If you want 10 steps, let's go 4 and prove that it works so that we can take steps 5 and 6 in the future. We have to be able to get back to that. If we stand on the grounds of far right and far left and just stand there and yell at each other, we get nowhere.
Right.
That is not what the people of Wisconsin want, period.
No, and I think right now the entire, well, no, I shouldn't say the entire, I don't want to speak in entireties, but the majority of the Republican Party is in an extreme position. You look at the leaders.
Well, that's where they have decided to be right now.
Correct. Yes, right now.
Do I believe that all Republicans are that? No, I don't.
No, you look at people like Kitchens and all that.
And I think that there were very good statesmen. There are very good rational Republicans. And God bless them. Both parties have to be there.
Yeah.
If the, you know, we as a Democratic Party, we are absolutely people first. That is the bottom line. But there is a rational edge to that that says we can't necessarily afford to do everything we want right now.
Right.
That is the value of the two-party system.
Right.
It's trying to keep, again, with proper maps, we can keep it in balance to say, you're right, that's a good idea. We can't quite give it all. We can't do it 100%, but we can move towards that.
Yeah.
That's what balanced government should be
doing. It would be interesting to see what Wisconsin is like with minority leader Robin Voss.
You know, Robin's been a long time, but I will say he's the one that finally came to the table. He's the that had to help get it done. And I still feel bad. Again, maps matter.
That's so conflicting.
I know. I'm not giving him a pat on the back, but
because he was the architect of all this.
He absolutely. Yeah. True. So we shouldn't be giving him any credit. But he's the one that was actually in the negotiating table. He was the one with all the words. Everything that Diane Hesselbein got included into this this budget, this not great budget. Everything that is in there, the almost $1 billion in capital projects for UW, the bridges, the MSP payments, all of those things were negotiated by Diane with Robin.
That's crazy.
Robin is the one that had to do it. Senator Lemieux didn't have a whole lot of voice. It was his caucus that was having trouble. So he's the one that showed up, and Voss is the one that made it happen. And we talk on the way back from the break, there was an idea, this whole timeline with July 4th and the Trump budget. We can talk about that a little bit as well. But there was a sense of urgency to make sure that we collected the Medicaid cap increase. We had been at, I think, 1.5 and went up to 6%. And that was a big deal. And it wasn't just for the hospitals. Number one, keeping hospitals healthy does matter.
Yeah.
We had to kick back to make sure no hospital was kicked in the teeth because there were lots of winners and a couple of losers. So we had to make sure there were no losers. And then the state collected, they refer to it as the skim. The state received the rest of that to go directly towards our Medicaid budget. Missing out on that opportunity would have been massive in a negative way. So, again, the Robin Voss pushed to accept an increase in Medicaid funding for the hospitals. And why we wouldn't now go for Medicaid, going to the full Medicaid program. How do you say yes to expanding Medicaid for the hospitals and not say yes to expanding it for people in general?
You say yes, that is,
again, hypocrisy at its best.
Right? That's wild. I don't understand some of that stuff and how you can justify that.
No.
You know, it's that doesn't make a ton of sense. But normally I have a Mark's Musings segment. I'm going to have you stick around because this is going to be good.
Oh boy.
Yes. We're not going to talk politics. We're going to talk big picture stuff. Take it away, Senator Chris Desser, Elfman.
I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sing every song to drive a new.